I'm sure glad that you let me come back again. You've always made me feel at home and almost as good as I did when I was in the cotton patches of Arkansas. A little bit better than that. But you just let me be who I am and say what I felt. And I enjoy that. This is going on tape, and I want to be careful how I say this. But a few days ago, I was walking, and I kept hearing this in my heart. And at first, I tried to ignore it. Then when it wouldn't go away, I began to give heed to it. And I heard the word trapped. Well, I knew I wasn't trapped, but I didn't think I was. And then I heard this. Are we trapped? In a belief system. I'd never heard it until I heard it in here. Is it possible that we have or can be trapped in a belief system? I'm prone to say, well, I believe this, or I believe this. And if we talk together long enough, some things I believe that you won't believe, and vice versa. And I've never dealt with this, so I'll just unload on you. And almost every belief system that we have has got religious roots. And it has come from somebody's thinking. All religion is a result of somebody's thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Anything you believe, if you never went to church in your life, anything you believe has got a religious root in it. Grandpa had it, grandma had it, everybody's had it, and it's passed down through the generations of time. So I began to pay note to what I was hearing inside of me. And then it dawned on me. Any belief system that I believe and refuse to believe anything else, I immediately limit God to my belief system.
Amen.
We do it. Yeah. And I've been through a lot of them like you probably have. How many remember the first time you received the infilling of the Holy Ghost? If you have. And you spoke in tongues. I didn't have a clue what it was all about. I thought it was the greatest thing. I thought it was the only thing in the world. I didn't know any better. So I just thought it was the only thing in the world, the greatest thing I ever had in my life, and it was. So I got involved in a fellowship that began to build a belief system in my being about the Holy Ghost and what we call the gifts of the Spirit. And they're wonderful. Wasn't too many years down the road until I heard something further. And here come another belief system. Every teaching that you ever hear will build in you some kind of an order of a belief system. And you'll just fight tooth and toenail because that's what you believe. Y'all say amen with me now. Somebody told me one time that the Catholic Church had a saying that if you gave them a child by the time it was seven, it would always be a Catholic. I don't know how true that is. Probably true. But I can't throw too many stones at anybody anymore. Because I've had too many belief systems built in me by somebody's teachings. Oh, you might as well say, wait a minute.
That's right.
And you see, when that system, when that system is all I believe, I'll fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, or indifferent, I'll fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
All you've got to do to see this very thing is go take a quick trip to Iraq right now.
Mm-hmm.
And brother is killing brother in the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a belief system. And we pride ourselves here in the United States, we're free. Oh yeah, we're free, but we're still bound by a belief system. And religion has got its roots in it like claws in your being. Now, I know where I want to go now. I sure feel good right now. Go to book of Acts chapter 9, will you? We'll start there, and I don't know where we go from there. I don't have to leave till 9 o'clock tonight. How many think this is all right? Aren't you glad you're here? Really? I am too. What was your favorite word? That's a percolator. Acts chapter 9 is what it says. Let's just, for time's sake, let's go to verse 3. And he's speaking to the apostle. And he said, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And when you understand, heaven is a higher dimension than the one he was walking in. It wasn't some atmospheric condition up there. It was just a higher dimension, a higher order. We understand that. And he fell to the earth. And heard a voice. This is what the voice said. And if you read this, it'll prove to you that he didn't know who Jesus was. In those days, anybody in a higher order was called Lord. There were a lot of lords, many lords in those days. They still are. You turn your TV on this morning and look in churches, you'll see a lot of lords in the pulpit. They're lords. You pee on. You don't know anything about God. They up there telling you about God. I done been there, I know. And it's an amazing thing to me. People will tell a man or somebody, they will pay them every week to tell them about God. And he don't know more, he doesn't know any more than you know. Something don't make sense. Why give him my money to tell me something he don't know? You don't like that. Well, I'm there, let me clarify something. Somebody asked me here not too long ago and said, well, they called me from somewhere. They said, well, Brother Ray, do you believe that we ought to tithe in this order? I chuckled. I said, what order? What order? Well, you know this order. I said, no, I don't know. Tell me what order you're talking about. And I wasn't being smart. I wanted to know before I answered. And it's like we talked about prayer requests when I was here one time. And the brother, if you think I'm going to pray for your unspoken prayer request, you're funny. Now, you can if you want to. I ain't. Not belittling anything you do here. It ain't what I'm saying. It may be because I've been shot at too many times. You can get shot at so many times, you get gun shy after a while.
Amen.
And I think in that area, I'm a little bit gun shy. To pray for you to say, I got an unspoken prayer request for you to pray for. How am I supposed to know what to pray for if you won't tell me what it is? And then it's like, she said, we use a cop-out. Oh, well, God knows all things. Yeah, but God sent you here to do his thing. Well, he did. And so when I questioned, well, what are you talking about? And out of the conversation, I was taught something. This thing, if it doesn't supersede orders, we're lost. Because we will go from one order to another order to another order to another order, always trying to lay hold of another order. And this ain't about an order. This is a life that supersedes all orders. Of course I tithe. Not out of necessity, you don't either. It's not just tithing, it's giving of a life that you are. And when you give the life that you are, you give all that you are. It ain't a few dollars or a few pennies or a nickel. It's a life that you are. And that life that you are is a blessed life. Yes. And that blessed life will bless lives. Yes. Yes. Now listen. He's seen a light that put him on the ground. And then here comes the voice. And this morning downstairs, I was just in pondering some things. And let me clear this up now. What I say, I do not make a blanket statement. It's for me. If you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, that's fine with me. And it may not be for you, but it's for me. It's where I'm at. And so this morning when I was giving some thought to some things, any light that doesn't bring the voice to identify the light, you won't ever know what the light is. Did I say that right? Anytime there's a revelation, and that's what light is, there is a voice to declare the revelation, or the revelation is no good. Go to the book of Revelation, and we'll go there in a few minutes. He made this statement. He said, I saw the temple opened in heaven. That is a revelation. But in the temple, there was lightnings or revelation. But there was a thundering or a voice to declare the revelation. You see what I'm saying? And in the revelation, there was earthquakes. And the earthquakes and the thunderings and the lightning and the great hailstones wasn't for the temple. Amen. It was to wash away the refuge of lies that's in the world. Yes. I may not be saying this right, but the purpose of you being here, the purpose of all being here, is that he made us to be the light of the world. Yes. You believe that? Did it ever occur to you that Jesus never one time said that he was a city set on a hill? Never occurred to you? Who did he say was a city set on the hill? Oh, come on now, you preach for me. If you're the light of the world, and you're the city set on a hill, will you pray tell me why do we keep trying to get him to do something? You got me now? I was raised, take it to Jesus. You don't take it to Jesus, he finished his work. You don't believe it, read John 17. How many believes he finished? How many knows what his work was? Now wait a minute before you answer that. Everybody is looking for, I say everybody, the religious system is looking for a reproduction of something. They're looking for the literal dead to be raised. They're looking for some physical body to have a band-aid put on it, to prove to them, to convince to them that God is alive. And thank God for the band-aid or whatever he does. Thank God for all of it. But if we have to have something outside tangible to prove to me that he's alive, I'm a lost duck. I really am. The work that he came to finish, if you look at it, read it sometimes, John 17. He said, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. Then he said, I want my glory back that I had with you before there was a world. Did he say it? Then if you read real close, he'll tell you what that work was. I have manifested your name. Plus nothing. And the word manifest literally means to put on public display the nature or the true identity of who God really is. And she said something about it this morning, but when the statement was made, if you see me, you see the Father. And he never did refer to the Father as somebody out there. It was always me and Father are one and the same. He wasn't out there and me down here. It's always Father in me, me and the Father. We're one and the same. They that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. It ain't his spirit and your spirit. My God. If you're joined to the Lord, you're one spirit. And the words that come out of your belly, they are spirit. Yeah. And they're life.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is no desecration to nothing, nobody. But we need to get away from this idea that Jesus is about to do something.
Right.
I'm sorry, folks. He's done all he's going to do. That's why he sent you here. Oh, come on here. Somebody called me here a while back and told me about a dear brother that died. And he was talking about all the masses of people that came to the funeral. He was such a good man. Probably was. I didn't know the man. Probably was a good man. And here was a statement. He went home to be with the Lord. I said, really? Where did he go? They said, oh, you know. I said, no, I don't know. I wasn't being smart. Where do you go home to be with the Lord? Y'all ain't talking to me now. You get me out here and go off and leave me. I don't. Where, now, be honest, where can you go to be home with the Lord? In the pastoral duties, I have had the pleasure of, until I found out there was no such thing as a pastor. I may know that the word pastor was added by the Catholic interpreter when he interpreted King James. Mm-hmm. Was. The word pastor, the word pope, the word father, all the same word. Don't you call me pope. Don't you. No. But literally, when the King James gave the instruction to interpret a translation and call it King James translation. That's what it is. It's King James translation. Now, don't go out here and say, I don't love this. I love the Bible. I love the scriptures. But I understand it's a translation of a translation of a translation of a translation. It is. It really is. And so I had the belief system. This is the word of God. No, it ain't. It's the scriptures. It's what he said it was. Ah, y'all funny. That's what it is. It's scripture. So the work that he came to do was to unveil the Father. Then he come along and he said this, as he is, said out loud with me now, as he is, so are you in this present world. Right here and now. As he is, so are you right here and now. Quit passing the buck.
Amen.
Take your place and your responsibility and identify with your true identification, who you really are. I'm just meddling. Let me ask you a question while I'm meddling. I may believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Of course you do. Well, how many believes that he has special privileges that you don't have? Y'all know this is truth. I mean, you know this. The spirit of truth in you will tell you this is truth. Do you really believe that he has special privileges that you don't have? I'll tell you what he said. I'll tell you what scripture said. We are heirs. Now, it didn't say with God. It said we are heirs of God. And joint heirs with. Ain't this deep preaching? Will you say that loudly? We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means he don't have any more favor with the Father than I do. But here comes the age-old concept. Oh, but you sinned. I'll tell you what it says about him. It says he was made sin. You hear me now. If we don't lose the concept that he's better and bigger than you are, you won't ever walk as a son. You wasn't made sin. He was. And he tells you why he was made sin. That you might be made the righteousness of God. That's just simple 2 and 2 making 4. I'll tell you something else. You're not a lamb. You're a sheep. I'll tell you why. The lamb was designated for crucifixion. The sheep was designated to be alive walking through the land.
Amen.
You'll hear this. The lamb was designated for crucifixion.
Yes.
The sheep was designated to be alive and walking through the land.
Yes.
I'm not a lamb. I'm a sheep.
Amen.
And somebody brought this to my attention the other day. I'm not a goat either. Nothing wrong with a goat. He has his place in God. He, all the thing about him, he went to the left hand, I went to the right hand. There were some people that God deliberately blinded. Read it. Romans is full of it. Some people that God deliberately blinded. And let me pass this to your understanding. If God deliberately blinded people, you're wasting your time trying to get them to see. The best thing in the world you can do is, in your heart, commit them to God and leave them alone. Because you see, this age is not all there is to the story. There's ages to come. There's worlds to come. He said there's worlds without end. And every man will come forth in the exact time frame that God planted him in. You're foolish to pray, "Oh God, save Cousin Joe." Don't you get me wrong here now. Best thing you can do is leave Cousin Joe where he's at. I'll pass it to you. He ain't lost. He just hasn't conformed to your belief system yet. And really what we want people to do is to believe what we believe. Uh-huh, we do. Y'all not too happy with me this far. I don't know why. So here comes the light and then a voice. There's some honesty. If you don't have a voice, and I hear this, I've got revelation. Well, let me tell you how you get revelation. Listen to my tape. Read my book. And you learn to say everything I say just the way I say it. And I hear it over and over and over. You do too. The only thing about it is there's no voice to it. See, it's the voice that gives it life. You hear what I'm saying? It's the voice that's giving it life. And you can get a whole head full of understanding. Or knowledge. I mean, you can just fill yourself full of information, Brother Gary said. And you can voice that information. No life in it. Go to John, Revelation chapter 1. What time are we going to quit? Y'all bring your lunch. Revelation chapter 1, and I've been here before, but this is what I feel. And while you're going there, go by the book of Joel. Before you get to Revelation, go by the book of Joel. And there's only three chapters, as most of you know, to the book of Joel. And of course, the first chapter is utterly desolation. And I used to look at it and I thought, that's so bad. He said, the field's wasted. The land mourneth. The corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up and the oil languisheth. That sounds horrible. You read a little bit further. He said, the vine is dried up. The fig tree languishes. Joy is withered away from the sons of men. That sounds horrible. You're talking about desolation. That's desolation in its cruelest form. And somewhere I have this belief system again planted in me that the devil had done all these bad things. No wine, no corn, joy is gone. Y'all ever been there? And I hear people, "Oh, I'm going through a valley. I'm going through a dry spell." I think that's probably a belief system. But when you read chapter 2, it gets into a different ballgame again. Chapter 2, he begins to judge or bring a correction to why the dry spell is there. Mm-hmm. And let me say this in passing. I don't spend a lot of time here. He deliberately dries up the vine. Mm-hmm. He deliberately wastes that fig tree. He deliberately dries up the joy that you've always known. Because you see, when he's finished with a time or an era or a season, he's done with it. And see, we want to go back and do the same thing over and over and over and over again. We come to church and we sing a song inspired by the Lord. It just blesses everybody. We come to church next Sunday thinking, this is what I did last Sunday. Let's do it again. And so we do it again. Only this time, it just don't work. It don't sound right. You ever done that? Same way about our prayer life. And I heard somebody say this, and I've said it a lot of times since then. Some of us has gone fishing in the same fishing hole, using the same bait, and catching the same fish up here. And you know what? Some people have such a habit in praying, they know how to pray. You ever hear somebody, oh, they know how to pray. You want me to drop your thought? When you learn how to pray, you can't pray anymore. Yes, sir. And it's such a religious rhetoric. Uh-huh. God, hear me now. It's such a religious rhetoric. It's a belief system. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how to get out of it. It would probably scare some of us to death to walk into assembly some Sunday or some Wednesday or whatever, and nobody say a word. Mm-hmm. We get so nervous, we bite our toenails. Yep. Because a belief system has told us and taught us, do this, do this, do this, and this, and this, and this, and this will happen. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we try it. Yep. And we do it. Sometimes it works. Most time it don't. But here's the thing about it. We got to pour down when we really don't know if it works or don't work. We go home satisfied because we satisfy the belief system. Y'all let me come back next year. Chapter 3 of the book of Joel. There's a restoration. But it's not a restoration of what would have been. Let me tell you this. I asked myself, I heard this come out of my belly one time. Are you ready to give up tongues? And without thinking, I said, no, I'm not. I love speaking in tongues. Because that was the first initial experience that I've ever had, really had in the Lord, was when I thought I'd never get good enough to speak in tongues. After 8 days and nights of seeking the Lord, he let me speak in tongues. Most awesome experience I ever had in my life. And I still think it's awesome. But how many of you remember when he said, tongues shall cease? When? Then he said, and prophecy shall fail. He said, well, if tongues is destined to cease, and prophecy is destined to fail, when will we give it up? Now, I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just asking the question here. But he deliberately brings things to a closure. How many of you ever went through an experience you thought, well, I'm going to bring this to a closure so I can go on with my life? Mm-hmm. Amen? I'm talking about literally, physically. Mm-hmm. You go through a traumatic, it's a horrible experience. You think, well, I'm going to bring this to a closure so I can go on with my life. Do you think that maybe the Lord is bringing some things to a closure? So that we can move into the greatest thing that any generation has ever known, ever heard about.
Amen.
My God, I don't want to go to a hole in the ground like my granddaddy did. looking for another day. Do you? Joel said this in chapter 3. And it should come to pass in that day that the mountains, remember the mountains is an order, if you will use, or a government. The government shall drop down old wine made over. Say that loud if you read it. New wine. It ain't never been before. If it's new, it's never been used. Can you hear me now? If it's a new wine, nobody's ever tasted it. It ain't a second-handed, hand-me-down, made over. It's something that has never been. And here again is where I'm at. I believe this people right here was designated for this time in God's economy. But you see, this particular time in God's economy was designated for this people. And they'll come together like a hand in a glove. Until it will no longer be, oh God, if it be your will. Oh God, show me your will. And I'm not mimicking anything. We've all been through that. But this people, for this day, will absolutely come to a place of realization that they are much about the Father's will as the man Jesus was. Amen. And we've come for no other purpose than to express the Father.
Yes. Amen.
Read Joel again. New wine. Then he said the hills. You've got the mountains and the hills. The hills is the lower order, the lower form. But even those hills shall flow with milk. Somebody's going to feed the babes. Come on now. Somebody's going to feed the babies. And you know good well milk belongs to the baby. Paul said strong meat belongs to a different crowd. Meat, milk belongs to the baby. But he said even that lower order is going to feed the babies. Then he said that the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain. You've got rivers. You've got fountains. You've got milk. You've got wine. It's all in God's economy. My concern is that the mountain people recognize that you're mountain people. And that mountain people don't produce milk. Mountain people got wine coming out of them. Can you hear what I'm saying now? The milk people will always be there to feed the babies. But the Melchizedek order was not called to feed milk to a bunch of babies.
No, sir.
Revelation. Then I'm going to quit. And I've been here before a lot of times, but I just almost feel compelled. I'll tell you what I know in my own heart. A light and a voice is bringing me out of all my belief systems. As good as they were when I was there, if they're done with, I'm done with them. And I don't say this to be vociferous or out of character or out of order. But I'd rather sit on my front porch and rock in my rocking chair than I had to continue in a system that has been.
Yes.
And we're trying to make it work again. Mm-hmm. There's a new tongue.
Yes.
That has never been spoken.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's an unknown tongue.
Yes.
But it's an unknown tongue. It's unknown because it's never been known. And it's not a bunch of sycamore sighs and pass me on by and all that stuff. This is a tongue. Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh mysteries. And I declare to you that there's a tongue now that's going to take a mystery and open that thing up for what it really is.
Yes.
And let us not only see it, but let us understand that it's real, who we really are. Revelation chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 8. And you know by now that it was a revelation of Jesus Christ. But a revelation of John was an unveiling of Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ, is what it says. Verse 1, he says, a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. To him was Jesus Christ that had the revelation of him. Well, that's what it says. And that's exactly what's taking place now. We're having a revelation of who we are. And there ain't a revelation about him. It's a revelation about you. Who you are. What you are. Why you're here. Where'd you come from? Where are you going? What are you going to do while you're here? I don't know about you, but I ain't excited about going nowhere, are you? I really ain't. Man, I'm having the time of my life. Why do I want to? So what we're really having, we're having a revelation. I'm having a revelation of Ray Basil. Now that's the name that my earthly parents gave me. The name my father gave me was engraved in a white stone. I believe it. And no man knows that name except him that receives it.
Amen.
But you see, if your name is the same stone my name, then we know one another. This ain't Greek. How many knows that God gave you a name that's written in a white stone? And he said, no man knows that name except him to receive it. Mm-hmm. And if you receive that name, then you know that name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you know that name. Yeah. And I'll tell you now, that name ain't a man, J-E-S-U-S. That name is S-O-N.
Yeah.
Oh, hear me now, that name is S-O-N.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a son? Let's read. I'm getting too many puzzle looks. That's all right. I'm kind of puzzled anyway. So that's... Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I'm Alpha and Omega. That's awesome. The beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord. Which is, which was, and which is to come. The Almighty. Now here he wasn't identified as a man called Jesus. He will, but not here. I, John, also your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you know anything about the Isle of Patmos, you know it was just a barren, desolate, godforsaken place that they sent you to die. It was another San Quentin. That's where the chiefest of criminals went to die. That's where John was sent. Look what he went for. Look what he went for. And if you ever felt like you were there, you might only inquire, why am I here? Have you ever done that? Well, why am I here? Why am I here? I've asked myself that 1,000 times. Why am I here? Why me, Lord? That's what we used to say. Why me, Lord? It might do you good to find out why you're there. It just might do you a whole heap of good to find out why you're really there. John was there for the word of God and a testimony. Then he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And it literally says, I was in the Spirit of the Lord. On that day, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And it'll happen invariably. True recognition will do wonders for our understanding. He made the statement in Luke chapter 17, I believe it was, 18. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Remember that? It literally says, when I appear, will I be recognized? And you see, sometimes I recognize him, and sometimes he comes in such a form that I don't know who he is. Really. If you'll come in the form that I'm accustomed to, I can identify with it. But if all of a sudden he shows up as a stranger, I don't really know who he is. And he'll bring a strange word that I've never heard before. Mm-hmm. There'll be a strange light that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. But I've come to know something now. There's a spirit of truth within the house of God that will always identify with him in any shape, form, or fashion.
Yes.
Anything that is said, the spirit of truth will immediately recognize it.
Yes, it will.
You may not understand it, but there'll be some dancing and some leaping in your belly because the spirit of truth hears and knows and discerns, understands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, heard behind your voice. This is what the voice said. I'm Alpha and Omega. That's what he just said in the preceding verses. But he's going to hear it again. This time he hears a voice. He's in the spirit of the voice. I need to pause here a minute. He was in the spirit of that day, of that voice. And it makes all the difference in the world what day I recognize I'm in. You see, I know I'm not in the day of Pentecost. But he understood that he was in the spirit of that day, of that voice. And every day has its own voice. Oh, yes, it does. Every day will declare that day. He said the day would declare it. There is a voice that will declare the day. Mm-hmm. But you see, the voice of today will never go back to yesterday and try to bring you backwards.
That's right. That's right.
I'm trying to hurry, and I don't want to hurry. Let's read it. I'm the first and the last. What thou seest write. Go to verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And this was a turning point in my life. And you see, if it's a real voice of truth, you'll always turn. The word turn means to repent. And I've been doing a lot of repenting lately. Now, and this is not a blanket statement, but it's for me. If you're still having to deal with sin, I wonder who we are. I really do. While we're there, he said he one time winked at ignorance. He didn't say sin. He dealt with sin. He didn't wink at it. He dealt with it. He one time winked at ignorance. And then he made a statement, but he commanded every man to turn or repent. And we've used a cop-out like she said this morning. We've all had cop-outs. Ignorantly, I agree. Not knowing. I mean, I was double dumb. Some things I just did not know. And we didn't know. Nobody taught us. They taught us everything they knew. My elders did. There's something they just didn't know. They couldn't teach me. But that's a repentance. There's a command now to turn or to repent.
Yes.
And it literally means to turn away from concepts, ideas, past revelations, part truths, part what we call in part ministry.
Yes.
In part ministry, though as beautiful as it was, never perfected nobody.
Yes, sir.
You want me to tell you why? He simply said this. He hath perfected forever. Now, I didn't like that. Because that took away all my works.
Yeah.
I heard a little brother on TV this morning. They were so excited about taking communion. And he said, this is going to give you a chance to confess your sins. And then he quoted the scripture, you better not do this unworthy. God ain't got nothing to do with confessing sin. And of course, the communion, the grape juice and the cracker is not a true communion in no way. That was an ordinance that was under an order. I'm not under an ordinance, it's under an order. The true communion is this, true fellowship. The breaking of true bread. That's true communion. So he went on. All of a sudden they flashed a big sign on the screen. For spiritual help, call this number. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice which spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And let's go down to, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to his foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Somebody looked at one time and said, God must have been an old man. He had white hair. It's got nothing to do with age. We understand that. Let's go on. Okay. But it described his head, his hair, his eyes, his feet were like fine brass as they burned in a furnace. And now listen to this. And I'm going to try to come to a close. And his voice, there's the voice again. There's that voice. Isn't it amazing? That voice will show up in some of the most unwanted times.
Yes.
I woke up the night about midnight. And I was hearing a voice. I didn't want that voice. I wanted to sleep. I'm honest. Did you ever wake up at night and want to go to sleep and couldn't?
Yes.
You ever had that experience? And you lay there, and here comes all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you get quiet, and here comes the voice. Then you know why you can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So the voice will always come in the most unusual times, and sometimes unwanted.
Mm-hmm.
I shared this with somebody, and I'll share it with you. I went through about 17 months a few years ago in a conscious state of the most awesome awareness of God that I've ever had in my life. And I didn't want to leave it. I stayed there for about 17 months. Within that 17 months, I learned the word adversary. Remember, he said, agree with your adversary quickly while he's in the way. This is while he's in your way. That's when I found that the adversary was my best friend. Well, the word adversary means one who stands in opposition. Suppose. That's what the spirit of truth is. He's an adversary. Ready to take you into all truth. And in taking you to all truth, he'll oppose everything that's not truth. And just keep bringing you off. He's your best friend. So, I had learned that. I thought I had learned that real well. And some friends had invited me to dinner. And I live by myself. And I don't like my cooking. Now, anytime you offer me good food, I'm going to come and eat if I can. So they invited me to dinner. So I'm 30 miles where I live. I got my dress and started out the door. And I put my hand on the doorknob. It was almost like somebody hit me with electricity. I heard the voice. And all the voice said, the voice didn't say don't go. The voice said, remember your adversary. I didn't have to be spanked a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Remember your adversary.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, don't go. I dropped the door. I picked up the phone. I said, I can't come. I didn't know why. I just knew I couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I later was in question, why couldn't I go?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he said? I just wanted your obedience.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
That's all. But here comes that voice. And we'll close with this next verse, two verses. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Stars represents ministry. Seven represents a complete ministry, not in part. If it's me, you, or whoever it is, still resorting to prophesying. We ought to go back and read Hebrews 6 over and over again. Remember what it said? Leaving the first principles. And he called it doctrines, baptism, laying on of hands, prophesying. Those are principles. He said, did he not say leaving? So anytime I revert back to them, I'm still not accustomed or not accepting or not recognizing a full ministry. But the seven stars represent a complete perfected ministry. And only a perfected ministry can speak in an unknown tongue that will unveil mysteries. This is God's truth. This is burning in my being. It's that unknown tongue that has never been spoken that's unveiling, unfolding, revealing mysteries that have been hid. Paul said they had been hid. But they were waiting for this people, for this day, for that unknown tongue to declare the mysteries of God and say, there it is. Out of his mouth went sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun shineth in his strength. Now read this out loud with me, if you will, and I'm going to close. And I saw him, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. A light and a voice will bring to an end everything that has been. Yes. Yes. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Yes. Yesterday was over. Yes. What had been come to a stone cold halt. Yes. It died. It died. Everything in him died. I'm not going to prophesy, but I'm going to declare something to you. In my being, I know that that it's been made real to my heart that we are facing one of the most awful, catastrophic events that this age knows anything about in the natural. I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, so don't jump off the cliff. I know that in my being. I think we'd be some kind of a dummy to think that the balloon can get any bigger without bursting somewhere. The world as we have known it has never seen a day like this. Never. We have fought wars and rumors of wars since there's been time. But there's never been a war fought, natural war, like we're fighting now. Both of my older kids was in Vietnam. And my younger son was in Iraq. And when they compare war, the ones in Vietnam knew nothing about the type of elements and the weapons that they're using in this war. Now here's another side of the story. The guys in Iraq is receiving a brain trauma from explosives that no medical science knows how to deal with. Medical school didn't teach it. Any other war, they've always known how to patch up and to get well and to sew back together. This war, they don't know what to do. My youngest son, it's been 15 months. Maybe your son, your grandkids. It's the most horrific thing that has that we have ever known anything about in this particular world that we live in. But we're facing a catastrophic event, and I don't know yet what it is. But you're talking about getting ready to dry up some rivers that we've always lived in. You can mark this in your book. They're about to dry up. Yeah. And the concepts that we've always known is about to behold somebody that's going to cause that thing to drop dead at your very feet.
Yeah.
The religious concepts, the religious ideas, and I'll be honest with you, I don't like to be where I'm at right now. Because there's a responsibility in here to declare some things that I've never heard declare. And I'm sure other ministries feel the same thing. But there has to be a declaration to bring to fruition the vision that we've had. You can have a vision, but it's got to be declared. And the word declared means it's got to be brought out into the open so we can lay hold of it and become a part with it. Not a part of, become a part with it.
Amen.
I'm also in a good place. I have no reputation anymore.
Amen.
I really don't.
Amen.
I don't have to please nobody.
Yeah.
I don't have a congregation. Somebody has to do that. I have the most awesome liberty in my being that I never know a man could have it. And I'm not afraid to declare what I hear. I'm cautious. I would never, ever, ever want to wound anybody's weak conscience about what I believe. And that's what I tell you. What I believe is not a blanket statement. I'll share it with you. And if the life in it, you can get a hold of life that's in it, it's well.
Amen.
If it's not, it's well. It's all right.
Amen.
Closing this, I fell at his feet. That's what it says in it. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, that'd be a horrible ending, but that's not the ending. And he, the one that had the seven stars in his hand, he that had the complete ministry, he that had the wisdom to unfold and untangle mysteries that have been hid, that no other person, no other being was ever able to unveil and unfold. He that had hair white like wool. He whose feet had been in the fire and could no longer be burned. He that had eyes as flaming fire had a vision so pure and so awesome that he would never adulterate it by mixing the profane with it. It was the he that laid his hand, read it with me, upon me, and this is what he said. Don't be afraid. I am. I'm all she wrote. I am. The first and the last. I am he that liveth. Now he's about to tell John that he knows exactly what he feels like. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Until you've been dead, you don't know what the dead feel.
Right.
I ain't talking about graveyard people here.
Right.
Y'all hear, can y'all hear this?
Yes.
Am I too far out in the right field?
Mm-hmm.
I am he that was dead.
Yes.
And I'm alive forevermore. And look what he said, and have the keys of hell and death.
Mm-hmm.
What are the keys of death and hell?
I need to say something. I don't know exactly how to say it. The dying process has been a long one for me. But there was a voice and a vision that ended some things in my life. Should I say it like that? Some of you have had this same experience. You saw a light, heard a voice. Didn't understand it. But you see, once you see it and hear it, it never goes away. It'll take you to another light, and to another voice, and to another light, and to another voice. And see, once you start, there ain't no cop out. You're hooked. You're gone. So that which brought me to an end raised me to walk in a newness of life. And it's a life that I never knew anything about. I tell you what, the catastrophic event that I talked about is coming. I believe it is. I don't know what it is, but there is such a major upheaval in our belief system that we have had in our being all these years, hundreds of years they've been forming and building within us. Those things are about to know an earthquake that they know nothing about. There's about to be a thunder roar in your being. And out of that thunder is going to come some lightning and some revelation that's going to throw you into a world that you've always been designated for. And the beautiful thing that when you arrive, you're going to know you never was a stranger.
Hallelujah.
I've been touched, and you have too. Now there's no more part room for me. If there are of you, just hang around. It has its own way of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to your fellowship sometimes, the song that you want to sing, you're going to get tongue-tied.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. This thing is over.
Yes.
We're right in the middle of a new beginning.
Amen.
I want it, don't you?
Yes.
I don't give a rip if I have to go to the woods and sit on a log and sing do die day. I don't care. I really don't care.
Amen.
This is the very thing that we've been designated.
Yes.
He used the word predestined.
Yes.
Foreordained.
Yes.
Chosen.
Yes.
Set apart.
Yes.
Sanctified.
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're part of it?
Standing
figure. I tried to make sure you didn't go to sleep. I don't think you did. I've never been more wide awake in my whole being. I'm talking about in my being. And I can see it. I can see it in you. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready? I ain't going to do it. I just know we are.
Yes.
He didn't bring us to this day to throw us overboard.
Yes,
and I speak a word of the Lord to you. Leave the mentality that you're not hardly good enough.
Amen.
Let it fall. Yeah.
Yes.
Lose the concept that you don't understand anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it.
Yes.
Because see, as long as you know how, he won't.
Yeah.
When you come to the understanding, I don't know how, then you understand the I am.
Yes.
I am, we're ready, we're ready. We're ready. We are ready for the most profound thing that any generation, actually no generation, has ever touched it.
Amen.
They've all pointed to it. Moses and Elijah went with him to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they talked about his decease. They never said anything about what would happen after his decease. Do you ever notice that? All they could talk about was his death. Because neither Moses nor Elijah knew anything beyond the death.
Mm-hmm.
I declare to you now there's some people that know resurrection.
Yes.
And we're ready for it.
Yes, sir.
Bless you. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.